You have some scriptures that are in your bulletin that will be the content of the message is enclosed in those. And let's pray that God will speak to us. Lord, I ask that you would use me today, that you would speak to us concerning our relationship with you day to day, and that you would take these words and give them life for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. You got the last newsletter. I talked to you about spiritual erosion in that newsletter. The word erosion comes from a French verb, erodere, and which means to gnaw away. A noun form of this word is our word rodent, or more specifically, rat. A rat will gnaw away at things. It hides in the decay of society. It carries diseases which bring plague. Erosion is to slowly eat away by slow destruction. Erosion is to cause to deteriorate or disappear, as if by eating or wearing away. You might notice that the buying power of the almighty dollar is eroded away year by year. Maybe you have seen the effects of erosion in mountains or even in your yard as water and ice and wind wear away topsoil or rocks. The reason we had to cover the parking lot out there is because of erosion. Erosion means to gnaw away, like being gnawed at by hundreds of little animals. And today I want to talk to you about spiritual erosion. This is actually a series. We're going to focus down on it later on in terms of us individually and how do we combat it and deal with it. Spiritual erosion, by definition, is the slow deterioration of a person's spiritual life by the natural processes of the world around us. Now, I have been watching your lives as pastor now for 15 years. I'm a long-term pastor, and I was in Kentucky for 23 years. And by doing that, I get to take tours in people's lives. And, of course, it's none of you, but I see signs of spiritual erosion in a good number of people in this church. I also have discovered that kind of erosion in myself on occasion, and I look at our lives, and this is what I see in some of us. Your life reminds me of the swing of a large pendulum, and which is smooth and graceful and silent and often elegant, and yet is given to extremes, back and forth. And I watch people, and I see some of us move from a strong spiritual life marked with wisdom and worship and servanthood, and things slowly begin to change. And as the pendulum swings back towards that worldly thinking farther and farther, and you head towards spiritual bankruptcy, silently, spiritual erosion sets in. Just like the erosion that you might see on the banks of a river, the gods of this world, affluence, prestige, position, materialism, leisure, pleasure, all these things erode our spiritual lives and we become spiritually lazy. It all happens very slowly as well. Erosion is never loud and never obvious. In fact, it is seldom noticed until something happens. Like the tiny cracks in a wall, it hardly seems worth our time or our attention. And erosion is never sudden. Spiritual erosion isn't sudden either. No building suddenly crumbles. No church suddenly splits. No marriage suddenly comes apart. No kid suddenly goes bad. No nation suddenly comes apart. No business suddenly becomes mediocre. No church suddenly loses its focus on Jesus. It happens little by little, moment by moment, decision by decision, slowly, almost imperceptibly. Erosion occurs. Gaps grow wider. Spiritual decay sets in along with moral erosion. You know, as the Apostle Paul said, he said, "Let anyone who thinks that he stand take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to all men." We who stand and live in this day need to take heed lest we fall. We are no different than the people 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. Our toys have changed, but ways of sinning and ways of living haven't. Everything's different, but nothing's changed, and everything's changed, but nothing's different. I want to use as our example of spiritual erosion the book of Judges in the Old Testament. We're going to be living here for a few weeks as we deal with these things. I want to walk through some scriptures in Judges with you today and show you how and why the people suffered from terrible spiritual erosion so that we can learn from them, and those who are wise among us can stop the spiritual erosion, begin to rebuild those places that might have been eroded in us. I have these scriptures printed in the bulletin. If you would read with me, Judges chapter 2, verses 6, 7, and 10. Here we go. When Joshua dismissed the people of Israel went each to his inheritance to take possession of the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work which the Lord had done for Israel. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work which he had done for Israel. Now let me set forth what's going on at this point. Joshua had brought these people into the promised land, and for 25 years they had fought for the land, and he had led the people. And we're looking at the book of Joshua on Wednesday night right now. This kind of ties into that because this is afterwards. Joshua also brought them to a point where they had to make a covenant with God as his people. And that covenant was based on the rite of circumcision as a sign of the covenant. They also made a verbal commitment concerning their relationship with God. Joshua had challenged them. He says, it's in the last chapter of the book. He says, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And they took an oath at that time that their households would also serve the Lord. This commitment, by the way, is also modeled by this church. If you go out in the atrium, there's a set of stones out there. They're set in cement. And there's a plaque on it that says those very words, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It stands as a witness to us who come to this church. There are 13 stones on that plaque, under that plaque out there. One for each tribe, and one for the tribe of Levi. Choose this day whom you will serve. It's a witness for us. Anyway, God heard their vow, their covenant, and held their feet to the fire about keeping it. Anyway, as the scripture states, Joshua dies, the leader dies, and so do all the leaders of Israel who learned from Joshua, and they were guided by his wisdom. And as long as Joshua was alive leading them, and even after his death, as long as there were leaders who had been taught by Joshua, the people stayed true as God's people. They served him. But when all those leaders died, then trouble started. The next generation, it says, was lacking in two things. And if you look at verse 10, it tells you what those two things are. First, they didn't know the Lord. And they didn't know the work that he had done in the presence of that other group. They didn't know the Lord. They only knew him through their parents. And secondly, they had no personal knowledge of God's actions concerning people, his people. Now, you put that in today's terms, what happens is that you have a group of people who go to church, but they don't know personally who Jesus is. They only have secondhand information concerning his presence and his power, and they just don't, they know about Jesus, they don't know him. Today is so much like the book of Judges. First two things I notice about God's people in the book of Judges is spiritual erosion begins to set into them. They are lacking in leadership, and they have an incomplete vision. When Joshua died and his generation, the people had no cohesive leadership. They were no longer attached to a strong leader, and as Jesus would say, when the shepherd struck and removed, the sheep are easily scattered, and that's what happened. They had no enlightened leadership. They had no leadership that knew the Lord personally, and neither did they know the Lord personally. Now, if I translate that into our lives, If God's people do not have leaders who know Jesus personally and are intent on following him, they will fall apart. They disintegrate, and it's by spiritual erosion. You know, if I spiritually die as your leader and disregard my relationship with the Lord, you will lose enlightened leadership and you will scatter to the winds, spiritually speaking. You may still be here in body, but you'll be off to other places. If you are a leader in your job or your business or your family, parents, or your church, and you suffer from spiritual erosion, those whom you are leader to will suffer spiritual erosion and be scattered, spiritually speaking. Lack of leadership in churches, families, communities, nation does not mean that there is no leadership. It just means there is no divine leadership. Then people get scattered to the winds, spiritually speaking. The second thing that happens to these people when Joshua and his generation disappeared is that they had an incomplete vision of who they are and what they are about as God's people. Now, I have from the book of Proverbs 29:18, and I have it in three different translations because they all speak to us. I like the first one best, but they all have something to say. So let's read those three together. They're the same one. Here we go. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. Where there is no prophecy, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Now, that's three different ways, and they all have merit in terms of what they say, but I like the first one, because where there is no vision, the people perish, spiritually speaking. Vision has two components to it. They are identity and purpose. Identity answers the question, who am I? And purpose answers the question, what am I to do with my life? God's people in the time of Judges didn't clearly understand their identity or their purpose as God's people. And that's why spiritual erosion would continually bring them into affliction. Their identity was that they were God's people in the world, but they couldn't see it. Their purpose was to be God's people in the world, to bring the world into a right relationship with God. They didn't understand who they were or what they were about. They were to be living in the world, but to be God's people and change the world. They ended up being like everybody else in the world. There was no distinction between them and the people of the world. The problem with a lot of God's people today and some of us is that we have an incomplete vision for our lives. We don't understand what it is to be God's people in this world. We don't recognize that our purpose is to be a light in the world, an agent of change in the world. What happens is we want to be like the people of the world, and rather than bringing others to Jesus and being God's people, we become like the people of the world around us. There is no distinction. And then what happens is what happened in the time of Judges. We suffer from spiritual erosion. We begin to serve the gods of this world. And we do evil in the sight of the Lord. Read with me verses 11 and 12 here of chapter 2. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were round about them, and bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. Now, in those two verses, we can see the danger of spiritual erosion as years pass. The same problems that are raised up in the book of Judges become the problems that we face in terms of spiritual erosion. When there is no strong spiritual leadership and no understanding of who you are, or your purpose as God's people, several evidences of spiritual erosion become apparent. In these verses, we see that the people began to serve the gods of the world around them. Now, the fancy name for this characteristic of spiritual erosion is idolatry. Idolatry is serving the gods of the world. It's playing to your own self-interest. It is giving into self-indulgence. Whether that self-indulgence is just sleeping in on Sunday morning or being worldly in terms of the passions that drive you, these people began to serve the gods of their world. We do the same. We serve money, we serve fashion, we serve prestige, position, we serve our leisure, our pleasure, and they become like gods to us. These people also developed a tribal mentality. They didn't think of themselves as being God's people in unity. They were people from the tribes of Benjamin and Judah and Manasseh and Zebulun, and they acted independently. They were against each other at times. They didn't work together unless God raised up a judge, a leader, who had the charisma to make them work together. Tribal mentality. It's a sign of spiritual erosion. Today, God's people are many times suffering from tribal mentality. There are tribes of Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and Pentecostals, Assembly of God, Roman Catholic, Lutherans, etc., etc. Tribes, clans. We call them denominations, but they are like clans with the greater nation of God's people, and we suffer from tribal mentality a lot. We won't work together, and so we are afflicted by the world around us unless God raises up a judge, a leader on whom the Spirit of God rests, who can make them work together. It even happens within churches. I've been around churches for a long time. The deacons don't work with the elders, or the women of the church won't work with youth workers, or the choir, you know, the music people won't work with the pastor, etc., etc., etc. And it's basically tribal mentality. Groups within the people of God who can't get a hold of a big picture. And they either are selfish or prideful, or too short-sighted to work together. And these things I describe can happen to us. Enough spiritual erosion takes place within us as we gather here. The people in the time of Judges also suffered from a bad attitude about what they deserved from God. I call this evidence of spiritual erosion a misplaced inheritance mentality, which is a fancy way of saying they had entitlement programs. The way of thinking was this. The people were controlled by the idea, what do I get? Rather than, what can I give? And you can always tell people in the body of Christ in churches who are suffering from spiritual erosion by this particular symptom. They want to know, what do I get from the church? What do I get from the pastor? What do I get from God? And they have very little regard for what they can give to advance and establish the kingdom of God here on earth. And these people are the ones who refuse to be servants of God's people. They only give of themselves when they see fit. Spiritual erosion is present when there is this misplaced idea of inheritance, of having, I'm entitled. It's a spiritual welfare system. What do I get instead of what can I give? On top of being a people without a clear vision, lacking in leadership, they suffer from this tribal mentality, this false inheritance mentality, and they like the gods of the world around them, and so they begin to follow them, and they lose their distinction as God's people. Read with me verses 14, 16, 18, and 19. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to plunderers, who plundered them. And he sold them into the power of their enemies round about, so that they could no longer withstand their enemies. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the power of those who plundered them. Whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge, and he saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who afflicted and oppressed them. But whenever the judge died, they turned back and behaved worse than their fathers, going after other gods, serving them, and bowing down to them. They did not drop any of their practices or their stubborn ways. These people, because of their spiritual erosion, also had a problem of having no common enemy. They lived with the enemies. They bowed down to the gods of this world and their enemies, what they worshipped. They had no common enemy. They would not fight their enemies together. One time it might be the tribe of Manasseh against the Midianites. Another time it might be the enemy might be the Philistines or the Sidonians or the Hivites, and different tribes would take the lead in terms of going against that enemy. But they didn't think of themselves as one people. They had no shared vision, no shared leadership, because they might win a battle here and there, but they would lose the war because they really couldn't figure out who was the real enemy. Spiritual erosion makes you fight the wrong people and the wrong enemies. And I see this in the body of Christ today. In this community, across the world, we have no common enemy, or we can't figure out who the real enemy is. We don't recognize that we are one people. We think we are different tribes, denominations, and we're the only people of God. Sometimes we fight the enemy of wine, and certain tribes rise up, like maybe the Baptists. And they go after that demon alcohol. Another time we fight pornography, and the tribe of Pentecostals rise up and does battle. Or the enemies against our families or our children or gambling or spouse abuse, and certain churches and or denominations rise up to do battle against our modern enemies that we live with. But after it's all over, we go back to our old ways, if not worse. Occasionally, God will raise up a judge, an anointed leader who will go after the real enemies of God's people. And for a while, in a small area of God's kingdom, there's peace and blessing because the people are relatively obedient to God's commandments. They adhere to the covenant of God, but then that judge, that leader disappears. And when the shepherd is struck, the sheep are scattered. Now, I want you to know what the real enemies of God's people are, so that you know. The real enemies of God's people, and that should be you people, actually, are number one, the people themselves. You are your own worst enemy. You know, if you're suffering from spiritual erosion and the affliction which it brings, guess who allowed it to happen? You did. The second is, it's really Satan. He has dominion in this world for a while. The gods of this world are the representation of these two enemies. The gods of money and power are the representations of our own tendency for self-indulgence in terms of fleshly pursuits and prestige and power. The gods of leisure and pleasure are the representations of our own tendencies towards easygoing religion and accommodation and compromise. So let me leave you with this. This is just the first. This is kind of like the environment. We are constantly in danger of doing what the people of Israel did time and time again. I've got several verses here, starting with Judges 3:7. And if you'd run down with me to 13:1 and save the last one, because I want to use it in a minute. Starting with 3:7. Here we go. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, forgetting the Lord their God and serving the Baals and the Asheroth. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroth, the gods of Syria, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the Ammonites, and the gods of the Philistines. And they forsook the Lord and did not serve him. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Philistines for 40 years. Sounds like a broken record, doesn't it? Over and over it happens. The people did evil in the sight of the Lord. The people would continually suffer from spiritual erosion. They would settle into an easygoing kind of religion that would accommodate themselves to the culture around them, and they would become like that culture instead of being distinct as God's people in the midst of the world. The distinctiveness of God's people would have all been lost, but God would raise up people, leaders, we call them judges, to bring Israel back into points of obedience. You know, the same thing happens in every generation of the church. We are faced continually with this struggle, both as individuals, families, as church. You see, we live in a culture which has a lot of gods to bow down to. And there are a lot of gods out there to serve. Whom do you serve? Whom do you worship? We're called to speak as prophets to the culture, but we have to be careful we're not absorbed into the culture and lose our identity and our purpose. You know, if we crumble because of spiritual erosion, we can no longer speak to the world around us. We're no longer lights in a dark world that can be referred to as points of reference of God's presence. The real enemy is us. The fundamental failure of Israel is that they, like so many of us, forget the implications of the covenant relationship with God. And we fight the wrong enemies. Now, I've spoken to you in terms of spiritual erosion on a general basis. But let me end with some questions for you to ponder in terms of your own spiritual life, because this is where the rubber hits the road. It has to do with you. Have you spent time this week in prayer and in the Scriptures? Do you consider worship an option of convenience or a priority? Do you give monetarily to God's work according to your convenience or according to God's command? Do you consider honesty in business or job optional according to the circumstance? Is Jesus Christ and his work an afterthought or a priority? Now, I could ask a lot more questions, but you kind of get the idea. Let me ask you one more question. Have you scoffed at these questions or lied to yourself? Read with me Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. If you scoff or mock this message, you are as the men in the time of Judges. You know, we are living in the time of Judges. Foreign gods are rampant. The world continually affects us and afflicts us. God's people suffer from spiritual erosion because it's always out there. Are you suffering from spiritual erosion? Those of us who stand must take heed lest we fall. And erosion is as unnoticed as the ticking of a clock. Erosion happens in unnoticed silence, like the swinging of a pendulum, until the day of judgment. Then all we have is the affliction and the confusion and the broken lives that comes with that erosion as it happens to us. Well, those of you who have ears, may you hear. Let's pray. Lord, we live in this world and there are many foreign gods. And it is very easy for us to lose focus, to lose vision, to cast off restraint, to live as the people of this world. Lord, help us to be your people in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.